All of us human beings have a desire to have a good time. Especially when we are celebrating a birthday or a farewell, we want to think only of the positive things. Just have a good time. But that would not do for Jesus. Because Jesus came to save us. And Jesus is all too aware of the price to be paid for that salvation. And also he's all too aware that for us to receive the gift, something dramatic is going to have to happen. And so he gave us, as the most holy days of the year, the deep drama of his passion, his death. And it's only through living this closely that a Christian can come to fully celebrate Easter Sunday. There is no cheap grace. The disciples of Jesus will have to be united with the head, which is crowned with thorns. And so the gospel today tells us about this clash, this drama of love and hate. It tells us that Jesus wanted to celebrate the feast of the Passover with his own. He loved his own in the world. He loved them to the end. But then the next line tells us the devil had already induced Judas to hand him over. And in all this reading and through the whole Last Supper, we see this clash between the infinite love of God and the brokenness of human beings. And the gift that the Lord wants to give to them is himself. So they can share in the life of God forever. For this, they will have to die as well. And we heard in the second reading something that every priest says at consecration. Something that a priest must think about every time he dares to stand as an altar Christus. And that all of us, as we partake of what we call the sacrifice of the Mass, need to take to heart. He took the bread that represents his body, and he broke it. His body will be broken at Calvary, will be broken to such an extent that he will be unrecognizable due to the beating and the abuse he took for us. And so as we come to the Mass and we hear the words, he took the bread and he broke it, the challenge is on us. Are you and I truly here, disposed to be broken? To stand with the Lord under fierce persecution and rejection and abuse, because he has become our true love. There is no cheap grace. Our faith as Catholics is centered on the cross. Saint Paul said, I preach Jesus and Jesus crucified. And this is madness to the world. It's a scandal. Is it also for us? Or do we realize what is at stake? And then the Lord Jesus invited them in this act of great humility to allow their feet to be washed. It's not just a ceremony. It is a language that he is communicating very clearly. If we are going to be his disciples, we must be humble. And that means something real and concrete. Wash each other's feet. And that means washing the feet in many ways of people that you know speak bad about you or you just don't like. And unless we're able to do that to one another as a community, to really and truly wash each other's feet and honor each other from the heart, if we reserve our esteem only to the ones we like, the Lord says, what merit is there in that? Pagans do as well. Every year, during the time of Lent, for a few years now, we have seen the attack on the church. We saw one year the Da Vinci Code. We saw the next year an announcement that the bones of Jesus had been found. Then we had angels and demons depicting the church as crumbling and disappearing. Every year is something. But isn't it interesting that for the Holy Week in the year of the priest, on the year of the priest, they chose to attack the Holy Father with the most absurd calumnies and defamation. And this calumnies and defamation has become even more intense during Holy Week. Even talking about things that happened 20, 30 years ago, they chose to bring them up in the most concocted and twisted way and deceitful way, precisely on Holy Week. And so the world media is right now in a frenzy of defamation against Pope Benedict, accusing him of doing nothing to prevent sexual abuses of minors by priests. The very same people who condemned the election of Ratzinger, calling him the inquisitor, that he was too strict, that he was as a dog, a Rottweiler, just ready to pounce on people mercilessly to exercise the weight of the law. Now they're saying that he's too soft, too permissive on abuse cases. A man living outside of reality, close in his room, reading books all the time. Now, this is the very media that not only tolerates a modern culture which is rampant with sexual exploitation of children and of all people, but that actually provides the supporting structure for the hedonism that fuels such abuses. I have not heard one secular media outlet recognize that we need a change of culture altogether. That we are living in an abusive world. That the only true voice that speaks the truth is Jesus Christ. And that He is the only remedy to all our problems. But no, it's time to strike the shepherd. As Zechariah chapter 13 tells us, awake, O sword, against my shepherd. Strike the shepherd, that the sheep may be scattered. Hiere al pastor, y que se dispersen las ovejas. Y yo volveré mi mano contra los pequeños. Entonces en todo el país, dos tercios serán exterminados, perecerán, y solo un tercio quedará en él. And yes, the sheep are scattered. I heard one media outlet say, many Roman Catholics are finding their relationship to the church painfully tested by the new revelations of clerical abuse and suggestions the Pope may have helped cover up the cases. My brothers and sisters, to say that the Holy Father, Benedict XVI, has been involved in a cover-up is absolutely a lie. And it is our responsibility to be informed and know the facts, because this has gone too far. There are now even calls from various countries calling for him to resign. Some are even calling for his arrest. When in fact, Pope Benedict, and before him, before he was a pope, when he was Ratzinger, has for decades been in the forefront of proclaiming the need for our modern culture to be less sexually abusive. He has acted when others did not act, even standing alone and courageously against great pressures. As Archbishop Dolan of New York said, the Pope is a man like more than any other, perhaps, has been a leader in the purification, the reform, and the renovation of the church, which is so necessary. Es el momento para los católicos de abrir los ojos y entender la batalla espiritual en que estamos y rezar por nuestro Papa, Benedicto XVI. Our way is Jesus Christ. With all the anguish and fear that it entails, He did not flinch or waver in remaining faithful to the will of His Father, even at the price of enduring the ignominious death on a criminal's cross. Unless we are willing to be taken by the Lord and broken and suffer with Him, we are hopelessly going adrift with the crowds. The very same crowds that cried, crucify Him, crucify Him. Not knowing even what they were doing. They were just part of the crowd. How sad that you hear reports of Catholics in different places giving up their faith publicly because they have been confused about the Holy Father. Again, I encourage you and I exhort you to learn the facts. In matter of fact, it has already been clearly demonstrated that the New York Times was lying on the reports that they have published. And I don't have time to go through all that now, but I did take the time to put it on my website, catolico.org, both in Spanish and in English, with all the sources that you can look at and see and pray and understand. Yes, we are living in a very abusive world. And abuse even happens, certainly, in the church. And sin is all over the place. It is in the church. It is here with us. But this whole issue reminds me of John chapter 8. The woman caught in adultery. The Pharisees quickly brought her to Jesus. They didn't care about the problem of adultery, which is a horrible scourge to humanity. Just like they don't care about child abuse now, it's simply a handy way to crucify the Lord and now Benedict XVI. If they really cared about child abuse, they would be supporting the Holy Father in his courageous effort to rid the church and the world of this great evil. But no. They bring the woman caught in adultery to see what he's gonna say or do. Because if he condemns her, then where is his mercy and forgiveness that Jesus preaches? But if he doesn't condemn her, then he is going to be accused of cohorting with adultery, supporting adultery. And so it goes. My brothers and sisters, the record of our Holy Father is very clear. Facts are facts, and they can be checked out. It's not for me to try to understand the mind of these people or why they are trying to destroy the Holy Father beyond the obvious that is a hate for the church, because the church stands on their way of creating a society that is godless and where there is no meaning for human existence. And so all this comes together in these days. The drama of love that is so intense, that is willing to make an act of love that takes him to the cross. And we are like those disciples in the upper room, confused, wondering what it's all about, but very much loved by Jesus. It is a night that Jesus calls the night of darkness, as he would say in Gethsemane, the hour of darkness. But at the same time, it's a glorious night in which he acted to give himself in the Eucharist, to give us the priesthood, so that in the midst of all that darkness and all that evil that he knows will be always in the world until the end, we would have him. And having him, we have everything. So let us renew tonight our commitment to the Lord, our commitment to be offered up. Every time we come to Mass, every time we come to the Eucharist, we offer ourselves in Jesus to be broken. Offer our lives completely to the Father. We die with Christ to the old man to be brought to a new life by the pure mercy and love of Jesus. And so we should live from now on as saved sinners, ever grateful for what he has done for us, imitating St. Paul that would say, he loved me and he died for me. That is my life from now on. Everything else is just an opportunity to show him my love. Whatever may come, whatever may happen. Brothers and sisters, if we are close to having opportunities in the future of suffering for Jesus and for the church, for the truth, how privileged we are. Much better to have something so beautiful to do with our lives, such as to suffer in love for Jesus. And so, how fortunate we are. Perhaps some of us have thought, if I had been there on Good Friday, I would have stood for the Lord. Well, we still have a chance. Let's stand for the Lord now. Let us be counted with him and persecuted for his sake. Now, this is going to require a strong commitment that has to be lived out every day in a life of prayer, getting to know our faith better, being willing to die to the promptings of the flesh, because the old man does not die very easily. But through it all, the Lord promises, I am with you. And so now we pass to this moment where we wash feet. And I invite you to spiritually join me in doing this. It's very easy to actually get the jar and wash feet. The important thing is what it means. Am I really willing to do that? For so and so that I don't like. For so and so that I have been speaking about because I didn't have enough love. Am I willing really to honor that person, to respect that person as my brother and my sister? And so let us now, from the heart, imitate Jesus and wash feet.